Okay. So as I said, we're going to talk about Sukkot today. Well, I don't know if you realize this, but like almost immediately after Yom Kippur, Sukkot is upon us. But maybe you feel it's not right to learn about Sukkot first. So I'm just going to bring down a machloket, which is in the Shulchan Aruch. And there's 2 points to this passage in the Shulchan Aruch that I want to note. In the first source, Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Hilchot, Sukkah, Simen Tov, Resh, Kaf, He, Sif, Aleph, says, B'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. Okay, now, the first thing which is interesting is that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really all the time cite verses when it wants to teach a halacha. It teaches a halacha. So here it says, B'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim, v'gomer. Ki b'sukkot ishafti et b'nei Yisrael, heim ananei kavod. The sukkah is the ananei kavod. Now, that's also interesting because that's something which shehikifum behem leval yikam sharav v'shemesh, which God put the ananei kavod on top of them in order to protect them. Now, the reason why that's interesting is that has nothing to do with halacha, at least at face value. Halacha is sit in a sukkah. So why is the Shulchan Aruch coming and saying that that what is the sukkah? The sukkah was anani akavod. Again, what does that have to do with our performance of the mitzvah? So that actually has generated a halachic discussion. For example, the Bach notes that the Torah already brings this down, and the Torah says, therefore, apparently, that the tamei hamitzvah is part of the mitzvah. Knowing why you sit in the sukkah is part of the performance of the sukkah. And the Prima Gadim takes this seriously enough that he says that if you don't know why you're sitting in the sukkah, let's say you make Kiddush. You don't know why you're sitting in the sukkah and you make Kiddush. So he says you have to make Kiddush again. The Mishnah Berurah rules this way, l'chatchila, but not b'dieved. So first of all, I'm sorry for bringing all this halacha in over here, but this is interesting that there's actually a difference of opinion, which we're going to spend most of the time with today. What exactly does it mean, b'sukkot hoshafti, that God provided us with Sukkot? So the Shulchan Aruch over here is ruling on one side of the machloket and saying it's the anane hakavod. The continuation of the halacha in Aleph, it says, U'mitzvah l'taken hasukkah miyad la'achar Yom Kippur. And there's a mitzvah to build the sukkah immediately after Yom Kippur. The mitzvah, bal yodo achyach mitzena. Because once a mitzvah comes and presents itself, one should not let it turn into chametz. Which, achyach mitzena, don't miss the opportunity. Which also you can all note, well, that's a real interesting source or teaching to bring over here. So, all of us know that after Sukkot, you build the sukkah. Okay? Sorry, after Yom Kippur, you build the sukkah. So my question is, let's say you have time before Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to build it? I mean, once the Ramah says, U'mitzvah l'takin ha-sukkah miyad l'achar Yom Kippur, does that mean it's usur to do it beforehand? And why is he saying it's a mitzvah to do now? Say it's a nice thing to do it now. By the way, this halach is mentioned twice. It's mentioned also in the previous sif in the Shulchan Aruch, right by Hilchot Yom Kippurim. And when it ends, it says, V'hamidaktikim, those who are careful will end Yom Kippur and go straight into the building of Sukkah. The Vilna Gaon understood from that you start learning the laws of Sukkah. But then again, the Vilna Gaon learned all the laws of all Masechet Sukkah that night. So it wasn't so difficult.
There were less laws.
Yeah, no, true of you. You never know. You never know. So the Shari Tshuva in source number 2, right? So mitzvah uve'el yiraba mashma she'ein l'takin ha'sukkah mikol v'chol kol dim Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur, you shouldn't. So over here, you have what I would call it's a hypersensitive reading of the word mitzvah l'takin ha'sukkah miyad la'acher. I mean, I would have said that if you haven't done it yet, then do it. Make sure you have it done. I mean, we all know, or maybe we know, the Mishnah in Sukkah says that if the Sukkah is more than 30 days old, so then there's a problem because it's Sukkah Yeshana. Why not say, hold it? How could it be 30 days old? It should say, if it's more than 4 days old, it's pasul. Why? It's a mitzvah to do it afterwards. So I'm saying, I don't want to use the words, how seriously can you take this? It doesn't mean, the halacha doesn't mean over here that you're not allowed to build it before. We know about these halachas, and Hilchot Sukkah talks about these halachas. What it really means is that you should go for Yom Kippur, you know, you're on a high, and you were like a malach all day, so now continue in it being an Oved Hashem, and now start building the sukkah. That's what the halacha means, the El Yerab, and then he continues, and he says, in the Shari Tshuva, and he says, Umafurish al pi amidrash. This is a psikta, if I'm not mistaken. Lama anu osin sukkot achar yom kippurim shem yimtzu dinenu legalut. Maybe Yom Kippur we were found guilty of some kind of sin that we have to go into galut. Al shein v'husmach ba'alma, because you have to go into galut. So then, how do you fulfill the galut? You go out of your house into the sukkah. So he said, he's going crazy. He goes, okay. Again, I don't want to use the word seriously. He goes, that's a very nice idea, but how far does one really want to take this? Divade masha sukkah dugma galut. It's true, you could say a sukkah is representative, is symbolic of exile. Ein rak machmad yeshiva v'aloha asiyah. Even if you're going to say that sitting in the sukkah is representative of going into galut, that is the sitting in the sukkah, not the building of the sukkah. How can you use this midrash as your source to say you shouldn't build your sukkah until after Yom Kippur? So that's pretty much what El Yerabah says, but let's move to the end then. Im Kain, Adurabah, Hayotov lahakdim, mitam shekatuv shemitzvah zeh, shasa sukkah titztaref lahachria lekav zchut. Because the opposite is true. Build it during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Build it beforehand, that the building of the sukkah can help in terms of the accounting that some of us may be going through. I mean, again, look, most of you are tzaddikim, so therefore you're already done on Rosh Hashanah. You already put in the Book of Life, a wonderful life. You guys can take this week off. You don't even have to go to shul in Yom Kippur. You're all done. The Arbeinonim that's still going through some kind of an accounting. So he's saying, if that's the case, it would make a great deal of sense to build the sukkah now, beforehand. By the way, then he brings the proof, Kemasha Katova Levush, the Indian Kiddush Levana. As the Levush says regarding Kiddush Levana, many people have a very strange custom, many Jews. What's the custom? That when it comes time to saying Kiddush Levana, they wait for Kiddush Levana to after Yom Kippur, which is silly for a lot of reasons. One is Yom Kippur's over, you can eat, and they're busy saying Kiddush Levana. So, but now to say Kiddush Levana when you're bedraggled, so therefore, they say you should at least wash your hands, and you should put on your shoes, and maybe you should have eaten something, you should say Avdallah, and then you say, so it means you get to stay around shul an extra 20 minutes. But why? Why not say Kiddush Levana this past Saturday night? Again, according to all those who say you can say it after 3 days, it's not 3 days from Rosh Chodesh, it's 3 days from the Molad. Shabbat was already Gimel. 2 days Rosh Chodesh, Gimel, so Saturday night was already Dalet. It was a dalid. You could, right, according to everybody today, you could have said Kiddush Levana last Saturday night. A matter of fact, I'll tell you a secret. In my shul, we said Kiddush Levana this past Saturday night. Why? Because exactly what the Levush says. The Vilna Gaon rules this way as well. He says, why put this off? I know, why put this off? Get another mitzvah under your belt. So he said, for the same reason, build the sukkah. So, if those of you are concerned because of the El Yerabah, you don't want to build the sukkah until after Yom Kippur, so maybe at least we can learn about the sukkah, and that you won't be too upset about. Right? And then the question comes up, what's he talking about? Is there a mitzvah? Is there really, correct? Is there really a mitzvah to build the sukkah? Right? Are you allowed to have a non-Jew build a sukkah for you? I mean, many people in America are here as well. They're machmir to have non-Jews build the sukkah for them. Are you allowed to? Is that a mitzvah? Whole other discussion. What's interesting is that it makes it sound the Ramah already. Mitzvah takin asukah. By the way, is it really the mitzvah is to build the mitzvah is to be? He's saying it's a good thing to be involved in mitzvahs. That's what he's saying. It's like the Kotzker Rebbe. I've said this many times from the Kotzker. He said, I don't want followers who are very big tzaddikim. Right? He was scared of tzaddikim. The Kotzker generally was scared of tzaddikim. He didn't like tzaddikim. Tzaddikim take money from people. Tzaddikim, he didn't like tzaddikim. But I don't know if you know this. The Kotzker Rebbe was the best Hasidish Rebbe ever. He locked himself in a room for 13 years, didn't want to talk to any Hasidim. I mean, again, go away. Think for yourselves. Think. I mean, it was like the life of Brian. Anyway, you don't know. You're not educated. But why are you laughing? Rena, why are you laughing? Is that funny? It was very funny. So now you know that there is this slight hole. There's a slight hole in your education and your culture. But okay, that's good. Okay. So you're watching the wrong. So let's go. Let's come back. Oh, stop it. So coming back to our point. We could learn about Sukkah, and there's some basic things that I really want to take down as much as possible to the Chumash, to Tanakh, and let's begin. Enough introduction. Source number 3, D'Tanya. We have a machloket over here. It says in the Chumash, Ki b'sukot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael, Anani kavod hayu, di Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says, what does it mean that God took us out with Sukkot? It means that these are the clouds of glory. A sukkah is the clouds of glory. That is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, sukkot mamish asush lahem, that they were real sukkot. What does real sukkot mean? It was a tents, huts. Just in case you got it straight in your head, Rabbi Lezer says it was anani kavod, and Rabbi Akiva says that it was a sukkot mamash. If you look in the Sifron, source number 4, it's the other way around. Laman yidu doroteichem, ki b'sukkot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael, botzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Rabbi Lezer omer, sukkot mamash hayu. Rabbi Akiva omer, sukkot anani kavod hayu. So here we have the exact same opinion, but inverted. And what we have is Rabbi Lezer says, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Lezer says, if you want, I could find you another half dozen sources in Chazal, which are equally clear. Okay? That we can find some that say it this way and some that say it this way. I don't know what to say. Okay, so what difference does it make? If you want to say that, but even it's Relachas Rabbi Kiva, it's Neged Chaverov, not necessarily Neged Rabov, and Rabbi Lezer may have been Rabov, and therefore the principal. But we do see something interesting. No matter who says what do we find at the end? We find the Shulchan Aruch rules regarding what I would have called a hashkafik, that not only that, I said all the way to the point the Prima Gadim says if he had the wrong thing in mind. By the way, it's very hard not, what was the example of Kiddush? He says if you say Kiddush and you don't know why you're sitting in a sukkah, then according to the Prima Gadim, you weren't Yotzei Kiddush. You have to say Kiddush again. If you said Kiddush, the words of the Kiddush say, Laman Yeshu, right? It says because we were taken out in Sukkot. So, by the way, the only way that then you weren't Yotzei is if you had in mind the wrong opinion. Which again makes it a little funny. By the way, that's why he may have said it's part of the mitzvah, because what does the pasuk say? Let's take a look in source number 7. B'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. Kol ezrach Yisrael yeshvu b'sukkot. So there you have an order, right? Everyone sit in the sukkah. Okay, that is behavioral. Laman yedu doroteichem, that people should know, that's cognitive. Which means that apparently part of the mitzvah is to know why you're sitting in the sukkah. That seems to be why the Shulchan Aruch brings it in. Laman yidu derechechem ki b'sukkot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael b'hotzi otam eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem Elokeichem. So you have to know why that seems to be part of the mitzvah itself. So why are we in the sukkah? So what's the answer? It's machloket. What's the machloket? One opinion says because when we went out we were in huts. The other one says it's God protected us with the clouds of glory that Anei Kavod. If you want to look at another source,
that's why we say both, isn't it? I mean, when we're in the sukkah, I always say we have this machloket, and that's why we say both.
You're very frum. Right? That's a frum thing to do. Let's cover every opinion over here, but it's a nice thing. I'd eat your food. Okay. I drink your wine, okay? Okay. Source number 5 is a Mechilta. By the way, both the Sifron and the Mechilta are very authoritative sources. Generally, the Medrash HaLacha are really on parallel with the Mishnah. So over here, we have I don't want to give gold stars or tell you what's more important. Talmud Bavli is very important, but on the other hand, the Mechilta and the Sifra are very important. So over here, in terms of, meaning, there's certain Midrashim which are very late and not as authoritative. Over here, both the Mechilta and the Sifra are authoritative. And as we saw, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva says, Sukkot Mamish, and over here, Rabbi Akiva says, Anani HaKavod. The Mechilta talks about a different pasuk, Sukkotah. It's talking about when they left Egypt. We're going to come back to that later. Sukkot Mamish, Hayu Dichtiv, Yaakov Nasa Sukkotah. There's such a thing as Sukkot Mamish, which means huts. Divrei Rabbi Lezer. So there we see Rabbi Lezer again consistently saying that it's Sukkot Mamish, unless you look in the Talmud Bavli. Yes.
So it's Rabbi Akiva, Sukkot
the mechilta, you're in the other mechilta. You're in the mechilta de Rashbi. I told you. I could find you other. This is the mechilta number 5, mechilta de Bishmael, which is more authoritative than mechilta de Rashbi. So over here, it's Sukkot Mamish de Rabbi Lezer. The Chachamim, which we don't know about, because again, this is explaining the verse about Sukkot by a place called Sukkot, ain't Sukkot Elamakom. It's the name of a place. Shenemar, and it quotes the pasuk, Vayesu mi Sukkot vechanu beitim. Ma'itim makom af sukkot makom. That the word sukkot, again, that here they're discussing not the pasuk about taking us out of Egypt, they're talking about something called sukkot. So Reb Lezer says, they built huts, and that's why the place was called huts. Which, of course, is a question. If they have huts every single place along the way, why is that place called huts? So the Chacham say, no, that was the name of a place. And what does Rabbi Kiva come and say? Rabbi Kiva says, ain't sukkot ela nani akavod. He goes, no. Nani akavod. So again, we find the same machloket being cited. Over here also a pasuk is brought, which I'm skipping right now. I'll remind you later that the Ramban's going to come back to this pasuk. Now, let's try to figure out what is pshat. And when I say pshat, source number 7 said, Bisukot teshvu shivat yamim. What does that pasuk mean? Is there any argument what that pasuk means? You should sit in huts for seven days. Does that mean anane akavod or does that mean huts? What does it mean? Where should you sit? Right? That means you should sit in huts. Now you can start to be very, very firm and very, very spiritual and say that your sukkah is like anane akavod. And you can quote the Zohar to me and tell me the whole idea of the schach is that God's presence is there. And basically, when we build this hut, we somehow recreate the Ananik. Oh, that's very nice. What are you building? You build a hut. Maybe your hut will then generate some kind of an Ananik Kavod. But from experience, if it rains, it rains. I mean, and the Ananik Kavod protected, you don't have to do your laundry. That would be very good for 7 days. You go in the sukkah, that's it. Your clothing stays. Actually, I've seen many people get dirty in the sukkah. I don't know if there's actually almost a guarantee in the sukkah. So what happened to the nanei akavod? They protected the clothing and so on and so forth. Okay. So what does this pasuk mean? So pasuk mem bet in source 7, b'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim, kol ezrach b'Yisrael. So we built huts in order to remember something. So what is it that we're remembering? So the Targum Yonatan, which is in source number 8 and 9, min biglal v'yun derchein arum b'matzle anane yikra. If you need to the easier Hebrew from the Aramaic in source 9, it says min ba'avur shiadu derotechem kibis sukot anane kavod hoshafti. See, part of the problem, and you know what? We'll look at Rashi first before we go back to the pasuk. Rashi in source 10 writes, "Ki b'sukkot hoshafti anane kavod." Anane kavod. Why is Rashi saying anane kavod? Why is Rashi telling us that's pshat? Anane kavod is pshat over here. Why is Rashi convinced that it's pshat? And first of all, we can start. One second. First of all, we can start a whole debate. According to Rashi, what does Rashi mean when he says pshat? Rashi doesn't get scared by midrashim, and Rashi doesn't get scared of the supernatural. But over here, or the metaphysical, why does Rashi say pshat in this pasuk is that it's anane kavod? Yes. Okay, hold on to that. That's not what Rashi is saying pshat here. On this pasuk, look, before we go anyplace else, what does Rashi say on this pasuk? This pasuk is what brought Rashi to say. Rashi, more often than not, doesn't go from a consideration from someplace else to tell you what's going on right over here. Rashi, matter of fact, contradicts himself from place to place. Will not necessarily translate the same thing in different places in the same way. Rashi does not have a great deal of consistency. Why? Because Rashi wants you to understand that there's something in this pasuk that Rashi is leading you to. What's over here in this pasuk? It says, "Bisukot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael." It's something which God did. It's something which was done by the divine. Again, let's say it's Sukkot Mamish. The opinion says Sukkot Mamish. Who built those Sukkot? Was it the Jewish people? Was it God? Was it some foreign workers that they may have had? Who built the Sukkot according to... Again, that's what I think Rashi is saying here. Ki b'sukkot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael. Here is something which the divine did. So what does Rashi come and say? Rashi comes and says, "V'sukot shafti anane kavod." So we understand that. That makes a great deal of sense. The problem is the Rashbam in Source 11. And this, by the way, is a very, very difficult Rashbam. First thing I'll tell you about this difficult Rashbam is that he believes Sukkot Mamish. Now, do we all recognize the difficulty that he's going to have with that? Hoshafti. So look what he does. But by the way, this is a fascinating Rashbam, and the only thing that we're going to conclude by the time we end it is that he's working very, very hard. You'll tell me why he's working so hard. I haven't figured that out yet. He's working very hard to go to Sukkot Mamish. Take a look. Maybe he was afraid of the Holy Ghost. By the way, I'm being very serious about that. The Rashbam was involved in various dialogue, if you will, and a number of times in his commentary, he says certain things to avoid Christian perceptions. So if I don't know enough about Christian theology to what extent they would understand that Ananei HaKavod connected with the Holy Ghost, it could be that's why he's staying so far afield from it. As I said, I'm just having this thought now, but you're going to see now how hard he's working, and I think it's going to be very clear. Let's look in 11 at the Rashbam. Leman yidu dorotechem. How does that pasuk continue? About what God did. Pshuto kidivrei haomrim b'mesechet sukkah, sukkah mamish. The simple way of understanding this is the opinion says sukkah mamish. By the way, whose opinion was it in the Gemara sukkah mamish? It's Rabbi Akiva. So he ends up ruling like Rabbi Akiva, but saying sukkah mamish, because he stresses the opinion of the Gemara. He could have easily had said the Mechilta or the Sefer or whatever. V'zeh ta'amo shel davar. So what did he just now do? He's introducing ta'amei mitzvot, which is also something the Rashbam doesn't do that often. And again, I'll ask you, why is he introducing ta'amei mitzvot over here? Because apparently, that's part of the mitzvah, is to understand the ta'amei mitzvah. V'zeh ta'amo shel davar. Chag hasukot ta'aseh lecha. So, there's a pasuk that says, right, where's this pasuk? Source number 12, the next source. Chag hasukot ta'aseh lecha shivat yamim basfachav migoncha miyikvecha. Now this is a little unfair. His first proof that the sukkah mamish is, what does it say? What's he focusing on? What we have to do. How do we commemorate Sukkot? By building huts. How do we know that we do this? What does the pasuk say? Chag hasukkot ta'aseh lecha. So who does this? Man does it. So what's the Rashbam's argument then? That if the commemoration of Sukkot is by us building Sukkot, and that's commemorating whatever happened, so therefore, what must we be commemorating? We must be commemorating the same thing. And what is he focusing on? He's focusing on the word ta'aseh. You do it. Now, that's only semi-relevant. Why? What pasuk is he explaining over here? V'sukkot hoshafti, something which was done by the divine. So what is he absolutely ignoring so far in his interpretation? He's absolutely avoiding the divine. He's saying, you should build Sukkot. Therefore, you see how circular this is? You should build Sukkot, and therefore it must be that it was Sukkot. Because that's what you do. So based on what you do, is therefore whether... But hold it a second. The pasuk you're explaining is Sukkot Hoshafti. It's something which God did. So that's what I'm saying, is that Rashbam... Let's continue in the Rashbam and just see how he... Correct. Let's continue and see what he does with this. Because of course, when man is called upon to... Of course we can only talk about what man does. And there's going to be symbolic things. Again, if we take the lulav and esrog, right, we take it, so we're thanking God for the produce that God gives us. So does that mean that... I'm just saying, when you try to use the Rashbam's logic over here... Right. So that's what I'm saying. He's working very hard. Let's look. We're in the first line. Let's continue.
The parshim that say that it's hanane kavod. What do they do with the pasuk that says
They say that's how we commemorate the sukkah. You're asking what's the relationship? That's what I'll say. The relationship is that the sukkot. See. we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with this question. Let's wait for the Ramban. The problem is that the word sukkah could mean two different things. And they're probably saying is that there's a dual meaning to it. Not two mutually exclusive meanings to it, but there's a dual meaning to it. So therefore, we're going to take one meaning in order to represent the other meaning.
So the question is the sukkah, in short, the question is the sukkah a symbol or is it a commemoration? Meaning, does it symbolize something that God did or does it commemorate something that we did? So all of Leil HaSeder works the same way.
Yeah.
All of this, all of Leil HaSeder works that way. It's all things that God did, but it's symbols.
Correct.
That symbolize.
Correct. So
well,
here,
right.
So again, you're pointing out that where the Rashbam is leading us is interesting. At least let's continue with it. Right. Be'osvecha et tvuat haaretz ubateichem mileim kol tuv. Right. I'm still in the. So I put. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's go. I'm in the Rashbam. Let's go back to the Rashbam. I'm going to read it from the beginning again. Okay, Laman Yudu Doroteichem Pshuto Kedivrei Omer Misechet Sukkah Sukkat Mamash Vizet Hamo Shel Davar Chag Sukkot Taaselecha Baosfecha Migoncha Mikevcha Baosfecha Et Tvuat Haaretz Uvateichem Leim Kol Tuv. So where did he get that from? And by the way, all the sources here I stuck in where I put number 12, 13, 14, 15. So look at 13 for a second. Look at the source, what he's referencing. Right, you're going to enter the land of Israel, houses full of all good. That's what he's referencing here. Which is exactly. That's what he's referencing over here. Your homes. He's talking about you're going to go into houses, you're going to have all good there. Daganti Rosh V'Yitzar, which, by the way, is not the continuation of that Pasuk. Laman Tizkaru, in order that you remember, by the way, it's not what the Pasuk says. What the Pasuk says? Laman Yedu. Laman Tizkaru, because Hoshafti. So he just, again, he's paraphrasing, okay? I can't say he's quoting. He's paraphrasing the Pasuk, so it's also a little strange. Laman Tizkaru, ki besod Hoshafti b'nei Yisrael, ba'midbar arba'im shana. By the way, he just threw this in that God did this all 40 years. I'm not sure where he got. Again, that's a tradition that we have. Below Yishuv uvelo nachala, where we lived for 40 years without any. It's really without any homes, without any inheritance. We lived as nomads. Mitoch kach, therefore, because of this, titnu hoda'a, therefore, we're going to thank God. L'mishanatan lachem nachala ubateichem imleim kol tov. That's going to lead us to thank God for giving us our homes. And you're not going to come up saying you did all this by yourselves. He's now going into source 14. This is thanking God for the land of Israel. Right? There's a whole question. Is that a mitzvah talui ba'aretz? Is birkat amazon talui ba'aretz? If you're in Chutz La'aretz and you're not sure if you bench, is that a Safek Deraita or Safek Derabanan? That's a serious question. So he's starting with Zionism. Lest you eat and become satiated. You're going to build these wonderful homes. I'm going to skip a little bit, but he describes, and your heart will get haughty. God who took you out, who took you through this whole desert, which maybe then is connected to Sukkot, when he protected us from all of these elements. Hamadicha man b'midbar, God gave us man, asher lo yadun, and so on. Pasuk yitzayin, v'mar tu bil vavecha, and you're going to say in your heart, kochi botzim yodi asal liyat chayel hazeh. I did all this, v'zacharta, v'shem lakecha, ki hu noten lecha koach lasod chayel l'manakim et brito, and so on. This is very strange, because what the Rashbam just did in his head, and it wasn't clear when you read it, till you go and you look up the psukim in context, which again, whenever we learn Chazal, you have to look up the verses. Chazal always made this terrible assumption that we know Tanakh, we know what they're referring to. The Rishonim, as we're seeing, they do that as well. He quoted half a pasuk here, half a pasuk there, and thought you got his message. What's he saying? He's saying that what are you celebrating on Sukkot? He says Sukkot is a celebration of the land of Israel. Okay, you can like this or not like this. Well, you're so bothered he turned this into a Zionist holiday? He said he's claiming that Sukkot is a celebration, that now we have houses. Then we had huts, and now we have houses. So we're celebrating our houses that we have now by leaving our houses, going into huts, to remember what it was like when we only had huts. By the way, what all that has to do with the pasuk that he's claiming that he's... Remember the pasuk that he is explaining over here? What's the pasuk? So what's how is he understanding the pasuk? Then we had this. Remember what it was like then. Remember how bad it was then. That's what he's saying. Remember how bad the huts were. Now we have houses, and don't think that all this is because of yourself. All this is because of God. So again, I'm going to say this again. This Rashbam is fascinating because he just now changed everything about Sukkot. He gives you the Tamei Mitzvah. He claims it's Sukkot Mamash. It's the building of the Sukkah is the main thing. Why? Because it contrasts what? It contrasts the homes and the houses that we have and all the good and the pleasure that we have today. And therefore, in order to appreciate our houses and to say our houses and what we have inside our houses comes from God, therefore you should go into the Sukkah. That's... So I'm going to say that this Rashbam is working very hard to have no reference whatsoever l'anane hakavod, and I leave it up to you to figure out why he doesn't say that. I gave you one possible understanding, but also what he does say is interesting, is equally interesting. Let's move over now to the Ramban, which I suspect, right, the Ramban we want. Yes, the Ramban at the bottom of page 2, source 16. He did not? I don't know. Source 16. Ki besukot hoshafti et b'nei Yisrael. But by the way, so what happened when the Rashbam went to his Zaydi Sukkah? Right? Rashi said, Anani HaKavod. When he says Kiddush, and the Rashbam says, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? And who knows if his brother, Rabbeinu Tam, let him get away with this. Okay. Yeah? Okay. Let's go back. The Ramban in Surah 16. Ki besukot hoshafti b'nei Yisrael anane kavod loshen Rashi. So first of all, he quotes Rashi. V'hu anachon be'inai al derech ha-pshat. And what does he say? Rashi's right in terms of pshat. Why is Rashi right in terms of pshat? Because it says hoshafti. Kitziva sheyodu hadorot sheyedu hadorot et kol maasei Hashem hagadol she'asa imom lahafli she'shachan otam banane kvodo kisuka. So again, exact opposite of what the Rashbam said. What does he say? And this is what all of us would have suspected the mitzvah is, to know how God protected us with the nane hakavod, the clouds of glory. Ke'inyan she'ne'emar, and now he brings an interesting pasuk. This was the pasuk I skipped before, which is in the Mechilta. The Ramban's not the one who went and found this pasuk by himself. The Mechilta already found it. Pesukim all the way off in Tanakh. Rabbis don't know sometimes. We need someone to find them for us. As Nechama Leibowitz used to make fun of us and say, the only way that my rabbinical students can find a verse is if the Gemara quotes it. And then look on the side of the page where it's cited. Any pasuk which is not quoted in the Gemara, rabbinical students don't know, unless it's a haftorah. If it's not a haftorah, it's not read in the liturgy, and it's not quoted in the Gemara, then there's very little chance that they can know it. So, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu here that says, Ke'inyan shenemar, Uvara Hashem al kol michon har tzion, the al mikareha anan yomam va'ashan v'noga esh lahavalayla ki al kol kavod chupa. Anybody want to translate that? Yeah, you take the challenge? No. Go ahead.
Like a cloud, and at night it will look like smoky, glowing flames, and this will cover, will be a chuppah, will cover all of the holy place.
Kol kavod chuppah. It's very interesting the use of the word chuppah. By the way, I'm performing a wedding on Monday between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. You know I'm quoting this, right? It's actually the fellow who's getting married. It's two interesting things. One is he claims that he's religious today because of listening to these classes over the last 2 years. Two, his name is Elvis. Which is more interesting? Elvis is alive and he's getting married on Monday. So mazel tov to Elvis. He's born in Russia. His mother liked Elvis. So over here you have a pasuk. So the first thing about this pasuk is so mazel tov to him. The first thing which is interesting about this pasuk is that it directly reminds us, without any mistake over here, the description of the Nanei HaKavod when the Jews leave Egypt, which is what Naomi was trying to take us to before. But what else is interesting about this pasuk? The Beis HaMikdash. What else is interesting? The idea of the chuppah, the marriage, the relationship. What else is interesting about this pasuk? The next pasuk. What's the next pasuk? V'sukah tihyeh l'tzel yomam mecharev. And they will be sukkad. See, what's interesting about this, bless you, what's interesting about these two psukim in Yeshayahu, what did it just do? Remember I said before, to answer Shuli's question before, hold it, but which one does sukkah mean? Does it mean this or does it mean this? We see over here that sukkah is used to describe Anane HaKavod. By the way, that's what's great in this Ramban, and again, let's give credit, that's the Mechilta already. The Mechilta, when Rabbi Akiva said in the Mechilta that it's Sukkos is Anane HaKavod, this is the Pasuk which is quoted over there. This is a very good Pasuk. Because this tells you, meaning we keep saying, okay, when it's what does it mean when it says Anane HaKavod? Anane HaKavod is the Sukkah, right? In the Sukkah there's Anane. Here you have a Pasuk that talks about both, and it goes back and forth between one another, and it means the same thing. Over here it does not mean Sukkot Mamash. Over here, it means chuppah, means something above, hovering above, protection over here. There's also something very loving about it. Using the word chuppah, you know, we can't help but have something which is very tender about that description as well. I'm so romantic, I'm sorry. I'll get over it. Okay. The Ramban then continues, U'mipnei shekvar pirash anan Hashem aleim yomam v'amud ha'esh balayla, Amar Stam, keep a so-called Hoshavti. Because we already know. See, what did the Ramban do? The Ramban says we need a working definition. Anane HaKavod is a sukkah. How do we know that? The Pasuk in Yeshayahu. What did it say when the Jews left Egypt? What does it say? It says there were Anane HaKavod. Again, you wanted to go back. What was your, when you wanted to go back to the Anane HaKavod, if I were then to say, what you wanted to say 20 minutes ago. So what does that have to do with Sukkot? So I'm going to say again, when you went to that pasuk over there, the Anane with Anan Esh and so on, at that point, what did that have to do with Sukkot? When you were reading that pasuk there?
Because it's a Hotzi'i Otam Mitzrayim. What is it that Hashem did? The only thing that the text actually says that Hashem did, the Hotzi'i Otam Mitzrayim,
okay.
Covered them with Anane HaKavod and Amud
Esh. Okay, so it's better than that. But just give me a second and I'll come back. It's actually better than that. But right now, that's what the Ramban is doing. The Ramban is using the exact argument that Naomi wanted to say before. He says, hold it. There it says that God took them out. He protected them. And over here it's saying, B'Sukkot Hoshavti. So you put one and one together. And how did he take them out? He took them out with Sukkot. What's Sukkot? Anane HaKavod. And therefore, of course, Sukkah is Anane HaKavod. Meaning, what are you talking about? How do I know that Anane HaKavod and Sukkah means the same thing? That's my Pasuk in Yeshayahu. So the Ramban, we're very happy with the Ramban over here. Yes? We like the Ramban? We're happy with him? No? We don't care? On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the Ramban for this? He's very good. Okay. Let's continue then. V'tziva b'zichron ha'nes ha'kayam ha'naseh lahem kol yimei amidatam b'midbar b'tchilat yimot ha'gishamim. So therefore, to remember this miracle, the Jews being taken care of, therefore we do this in the beginning of the winter months when we needed it the most. V'yaldat ha'omer sukkot mamash, which is also interesting, because the Ramban then just says, okay, and if you think it's sukkot mamash, how do we understand it? So let me explain it as well. Asu lahem Then they had to build. Then they actually built these huts in the beginning of the winter. The way that people do when they're in camping. Which means by both of these, he's trying to explain why it's done in the fall, why we commemorate it in the fall, especially if we left Egypt in the spring. I don't know if he knew the Rashbam or not, but it seems to be he's directly going against the Rashbam over here. It seems to, which means before you said he didn't know it, I don't recall right now ever seeing him quoting the Rashbam, but it sounds to me that he knows that shita of the Rashbam and he's saying exactly against it. He's using the same ideas. They know this is the opposite of what you're saying. Okay, so on. Ibn Ezra, tell me now which the Ibn Ezra holds. Kibbutz Sukkot, right? So Shahayu Osim Achar Sha'avru Yamsuf Sukkot. The Jews made Sukkot when? Did the Jews make Sukkot? Right, so what's he saying? He's saying the Jews made Sukkot, then we make Sukkot now. So it sounds very much he's saying Sukkot mamash. V'af kibba midbar Sinai sham du sham karov mishana, v'chein bin hakol machanot. Someone's asked, why are we doing this in the fall? He says, because the Nanei Kovdu there, Hashem Shlo Yakam. Do you notice how he tries to have his cake? He says that they made Sukkot, but they had the Anane Kovdu on top of them. So he's like by Charlotte Sukkah. He has both over here. Okay, now let me point something out. The pasuk that some of you wanted to go to back when they left and the Anani Akav would show up. So that's in source 18. Look at pasuk Kaf Aleph, the second pasuk. If you can somehow agree not to look at the first pasuk. They had in front of them, God had this Anane Akavod guarding them during the night, providing light and so on. Lo yamish amud anan yomam v'amud ha'esh laila lefnei ha'am. They had this amud anan. They had this amud anan. You know, it's a war, right? A column of. And they had the Amud Esh, they had this cloud of Amud of an Anan and Amud of Esh and so on. What's the Pasuk right before then? Now you can go back and look at the Pasuk before then. V'yasumi Sukkot. Which means, when the Ananei HaKavod are introduced, when are they introduced? They're introduced when they are by this place called Sukkot. So, hold it a second now. V'yasumi Sukkot. So all that I'm pointing out right now is that if someone say to me, okay, what in the world is the connection between Anane Yakavod and Sukkot? So the first connection, I'd say, well, like the one pasuk after one another in the same narrative when they leave Egypt. So again, leaving Egypt, this was the mechilta that I quoted before. Remember, one opinion says it's a place. One opinion said it's a place. And others says, no, that this refers to the Anane HaKavod, Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Lezer said there in the Mechilta, he goes, no, is they made huts. But again, we're avoiding a very interesting question, but why is this place called Sukkot? That's no. Okay, good. We'll come to Yaakov in a second then. Okay, good. We'll come to Yaakov in a second. Yes. The first place it's used by Yaakov, if you insist, we'll come to Yaakov. And matter of fact, it's the next source. So hold on one second. Yes. Yeah.
Don't we have proof that the real Sukkot from Al Birkata Kil left Elam Masavol left Yaakov?
No, there were Ohalim.
Well, we just said that Sukkot and Ohalim the same thing.
No, we said it's a Machaneh. See, it's interesting. No place does it say the Jews built Sukkot.
No, I know that.
But an Ohel is there all the time.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of Ohel, meaning. Again, I don't want to get crazy on you, but an ohel is not a kosher sukkah. So do we build a sukkah today to as memory of the ohel that they were in? So that could be. It could be. The word sukkah is never used, but where is the sukkah used? It's used right over here. Where is it used? Immediately before Anane HaKavod. So again, all I'm pointing out over here is that there is some relationship. What is this relationship? So obviously this has to be finessed one way or the other, what the relationship is. Again, I'll say to you, Chazal said, the Chacham said, so what is the sukkah here? That's the name of a place. Okay, the name of a place. So what then is the Anane HaKavod? The Anane HaKavod is what comes to replace whatever they had by this place called Sukkot. And that begins the relationship. What did Rabbi Lezer say? What is Sukkot? Sukkot are the huts that they use when they leave. They leave Sukkot and they build huts. Right? And that we saw the Ibn Ezra said that as well. What did Rabbi Akiva say? They left Sukkot and then they had the Nanei Akavod, and the Nanei Akavod are somehow called the Sukkah. And what would the Ramban say? Yeah, Nanei Akavod is Sukkah, because Sukkah is a Nanei Akavod, Nanei Akavod, Sukkah, and these things are interchangeable terms. But again, I'm pointing out, the first time, that's why I said it's a little stronger than you said, that the first time the Nanei Akavod show up, what do we have right there? Sukkah is staring right at us. So what it means, I'm not completely convinced. You have 7 days of Sukkot to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. Actually encamped. Okay, let's go over to Yaakov then. You want to look at Yaakov. The first time that we find a sukkah is actually found in Bereshit Lamed Gimel. This has nothing to do with anything that we learned so far. This is completely different, and this is because I knew that Dr. Stewart will take us in this direction. Look at 21. Vayomer Esav Yeshli Rav. This does not mean what you think it means. Okay? Although I have some suspicions. Okay. Vayomer Esav Yeshli Rav. Achi. Bro. Yelcha Asher Lach. That you should have what's yours. Vayomer Yaakov Al Na Imna Matzatichen Beinech Velchachta Minchati Miyadino. Please take the gift I want to give you. Looking at you is like looking at a powerful, even a god. Take it. So we have back and forth. You take it, no, you take it, I have enough, you take it, so on. He takes it. Yaakov begs him, he takes it. Vayomer nisa'a v'nilcha v'elcha l'negdecha. Esav says, let's go travel together. Vayoma elav Adoni, Yodea Kealdim Rakim Vatsun Vabakar Alot Alai, you know, all the stuff that I have slows me down. Udefakum Yomachad Vemetu Kolotzon. You know, if we travel too quickly, everything's gonna die, you go ahead. Yavorna Adoni Lifne Avdo, you go first in front, Master, you go in first in front of your servant. Vani et Nahala Liti, La Regula Malacha, Asher Lafanai, La Regula Adim, Adasher Ovo El Adoni Seira. You go ahead, and I'll catch up to you by this place called Seir. Vayomer Esav atzigana imach mina amasher iti vayomer lamazem tzachin b'nei Adoni vayashav vayomahu Esav laderko Seira. Esav goes back home. He goes to a place which is called Seir. Right? Esav himself is referred to as Seir, Har Seir. Seir connects to Esav. VaYaakov nasa sukota. So here we have a fork in the road. Yaakov said, I'll catch up to you, but he goes the other direction. Esav goes to Seir, which is basically going towards Jordan, and Yaakov goes to Sukkot. Vayivan lo bayu dilubkneos Sukkot, aken kereshim amakom Sukkot. He makes a house, and for his flock he makes Sukkot, and therefore the place is called Sukkot. So, in fact, this is the first place that Sukkot is mentioned. The only problem is it has nothing to do with anything. So, we're going to look at a passage in the Zohar. In Source 22. And if you don't mind, if you want, you can look in the Aramaic of the Zohar, and I'll read to you the English on the next page. Esav then reverted to be Yaakov's defender, which means instead of Esav, who had started this rendezvous with Yaakov as being a threat to him, challenging him, 400 men, perhaps killing him, so now he's become somebody who's there to defend Yaakov. Let's go together. So if they're traveling together, what's the purpose of Esav and his 400 soldiers now? Now they're taking care of him. By the way, sort of like Anane HaKavod, or sort of like something to protect. Okay, something to think about. However, Yaakov did not want his honey or his sting. If you're worried about the exact language of the Zohar, Lo ba'a devushe va'akutsue. He didn't want his dvash or his okets. Right? Right. He doesn't want his honey and doesn't want his sting. Yaakov said, "Let my lord, I beg you, pass before his servant." Esav returned that day to his path. When did this transpire? At the time of Ne'ilah. So that itself is interesting. The Zohar says that the meeting up between Yaakov and Esav, this point when they separate, we can imagine now the sun is about to set, and Yaakov is saying, "You go ahead, we can't go so quickly. You go more," I guess it would not be into the sunset. No exact direction that he went. It's probably a little bit further north. He probably was heading south. So he goes riding off, and Yaakov continues on towards Eretz Yisrael. And the Zohar says this was the time of Ne'ilah. The question, of course, is where in the world the Zohar got this from? The answer is very simple. Because where's the next destination that he gets to? He gets to Sukkot. So when do you get to Sukkot? You get to Sukkot right after Yom Kippur. That's that by the way, is Pshat in the Zohar. Yes, that's Pshat in the Zohar. Which means the Zohar is saying exactly what you said. Oh, there's Sukkot over here. So when does Sukkot come? It comes right after Yom Kippur. But this is much deeper than you think, so let me continue a little bit. For it is at this time he separates from his holy nation, and the Holy One, blessed be He, forgives their sins and brings about atonement. Which means the separation is between Yaakov and Esav. That's when atonement takes place. Once the prosecutor takes leave with his present, or the bribe that he gets, and separates them, the Holy One, blessed be He, arrives to rejoice with his children. What is written? Yaakov went to Sukkot and built a home. Therefore, the place is called Sukkot. Since he dwelled in Sukkot, he was saved from the prosecutor, and the Holy One, blessed be He, rejoiced in his children, happy is their lot in this world and the world to come. Which means the celebration of Sukkot comes to celebrate the victory of surviving Yom Kippur. That's also what the Zohar is saying. He goes, why does Yom Kippur come now? Sorry, why does Sukkot come now? Because we survived Yom Kippur. But what was this whole thing with the prosecutor over here, and the prosecutor took his present, the prosecutor took his bribe? So this is exactly the Ramban, which is in source 23, which is really the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. One of the most mysterious elements of the Yom Kippur service is the Seir La'Azazel. So the first thing I want to remind you of, where does Esav go? He goes to Seir. That we see right over here. So according to what the Zohar, again, this is under the surface of the Zohar. The Zohar is telling us is that there is a relationship between Esav going to Seir, right? And Esav being Seir, Esav's identification with Seir, and the whole Seir La'Azazel. The Seir La'Azazel is bizarre. As much as we don't understand Korbanot at all, but at least the little we do understand is you have a Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, you make offerings. Ma pitom, as some of my children would say, ma pitom, that now you take an offering and you send it outside of the Beit HaMikdash. What happened to the careful way of killing something with the sakin of the Shechita and doing it in a prayer? And here you throw it off a cliff. What does all this have to do with normative Jewish practice? What is going on over here? So, the bribe is what's important over here. And the whole sheet of the Ramban, if you come to realize it comes from here. It's not that this is where the Ramban is getting it all from, or for that matter, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. That all year round, we tend to act a little bit more like Esav than we want to. And remember something. As much as in our minds, Yaakov and Esav are completely 100% different, they still look a lot more alike, and they're still twins. By the way, when you take the Seir LaShem and the Seir LaZazel, they have to look the same. They're twins. The Seir LaShem and the Seir LaZazel are twins. And what happens? One is dedicated to LaHashem, and the other, LaAzazel. There is a difficult let me say this properly. There is an impossible Ibn Ezra, explained by a difficult Ramban, then explained by Rabbi Soloveitchik. And without Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's a chapter in Al HaTshuva on this. Without Rabbi Soloveitchik, I would not understand anything which I'm about to tell you right now. But it starts with an impossible Ibn Ezra. Let's take a look at the Ramban and see how far we can get. Vigor Lachad La'Azazel. Rabbi Avraham Katav. Now the Ramban is quoting Ibn Ezra. Amar Rav Shmuel. That even though the seer, it says this one's for God, the other one's Lazazel, it's also for God. The ain't sarach, he goes, you don't have to say this. Ki mishtaleich einenu korban. No, the seer mishtaleich is not a korban. Shelo yishchad. How do I know it's not a korban? It doesn't get, there's no shechita. Ve'im yecholte lahavin hasod, this is the words of Ibn Ezra, if you would understand the secret, shehu achar milat azazel, which follows the word azazel, tedas sodo, you'll know its secret, v'sod shemo, and the secret of its name. Was that clear enough for you? Ki yesh lo chavirim b'mikra, because he has friends in Scripture. V'ani agaleh lecha k'tzat hasod, b'remez. The Ibn Ezra says, I'll give you a hint. Do you love, do you know learning Torah was a game? I will give you a hint. B'yotcha ben shloshim v'shalosh tedenu. When you're 33, you'll understand. So anybody here is under 33, you're not going to get this. So, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. V'hine, Rav Avraham, ne'eman ruach mechaseh davar. The Rabbi Avraham, he's good, he hides this. V'ani harachil. Right, what's a rochel? What is a rachil? I'm a gossiper, I'm a peddler of information. The Ramban says, V'ani harachil magales sodo, and I will explain his secret. You have to love. They're having fun. That's all I can say. Shekfar gilu al torabotenu zal b'makomot rabim. The rabbis in many places explained it. I'm b'breishit rabba. V'nasa ha-se'ir alav. Ze Esav. So he says, what's the secret of the se'ir lazazel? It's Esav. Shenemar hein Esav achi ish se'ir. Because Yaakov, when he's going in to take the blessing, he says, but my brother isn't ish se'ir. He's a hairy person. So you're saying se'ir, hairy, has to do with goats. Et kol avanotam, what does it say? Is that all of the sins of the Jews we put upon the Seir Lazazel, avanot tam, the sins of the tam, shenemar v'yakov ish tam. So all this is Ibn Ezra, is that Esav is getting the sins of Yaakov. Now how do we give our sins of Yaakov to Esav? Umufurish b'zeh b'pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar ha-gadol. And it says in Pirkei d'Elazar, l'fichecha yonotnim lo l'samael, which is the angel, some people don't even say that name, the angel of Esav, shochad b'yom ha-kippurim, shelo levatel t'korbanam. We give the prosecuting angel, we give this angel which prosecutes us, we give him a bribe on Yom Kippur. What is the bribe that we give him? The Seir Lazazel. And that's what keeps the how do you win in court? This is important information. How do you win in court? You bribe the prosecutor. You don't have to pay off the judge. Bribe the prosecutor. You bribe the prosecutor, he's suddenly going to say, you know what, we can't make a case against him. We have nothing to say over here. That is what it's saying that we do on Yom Kippur. What is the bribing of the prosecutor? When we give the Seir Lazazel. The Seir Lazazel. Now exactly how this works, again I'm going to tell you, you have to go and find the chapter in Alei Tshuva, read the chapter, you will now begin to understand it, because it's all explaining this point over here, but I want to go back to the narrative which it's dealing with. The narrative is the narrative of Yaakov and Esau. That's when they separate paths. That's what the Zohar was telling us. When Yaakov gives his gifts to Esav, what happens to Esav? He turns from the person who's challenging, wants to destroy him, to suddenly this person who's protecting him. The threat is averted and turned into protection. Which means...
We have to give gifts to Hamas.
But there... This is the Yetzirah. But what it really is that sometimes we have confusion between Yaakov and Esav. Sometimes we ourselves don't remember who we are. Are we Yaakov or are we Esav? Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, hold it. I forgot. Right, so therefore we dress up as Esav. So therefore, what we need to do is to, again, have this clarifying point to remember the difference between who we, our real identities. Basically, that's what Yom Kippur is, according to the Zohar. We need to find, or to refine, our real identity. What's our real identity? We're Yaakov. And what do we need to do? We need to take the gifts. By the way, you know what's really interesting about these gifts? Where would we get them from?
And
we got them legally, or we Jewed them out of it? Which means we went and we got this money not necessarily in the most honest way. So what do we do with all the stuff that we got in? So we give it all to Esav. Which means Yom Kippur comes around. What do I need this for? Suddenly you realize it's life and death. What do I need? Again, God forbid anything ever bad happens to us. There's a difference between happening to us, our loved ones, versus our property, right? So you lose some money. You lose. Okay. God willing, all of you should have a lot of money. You should have a lot of money. You should have a shefa ad belidai. But if something bad happens to us, would we rather lose something which is precious to us or lose something which is just stuff? So what happens in Yom Kippur to Yaakov? He gives all the stuff to Esav, but it's beautiful. What stuff did he give? All the stuff that he took from Lavan. So as he's working there and taking it from Lavan, this is really important to him. And what happens now? Now he's looking, and you know what? Maybe he acted more like Esav than he should have in terms of his whole business ethics, his behavior, and so on. So he gives it all. And what happens when he gives it all to Esav? At this point, he becomes clean. He becomes cleansed. This is the time of Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah, you stop playing games. Maybe most of Yom Kippur you still, all year we play games. Most of Yom Kippur, you get to Ne'ilah, what do you find? They say, what am I out of my mind? It comes to Ne'ilah, and again, any of the stuff which is ill-gotten, again, take it. We give it. So what happens to Esav? Esav says, thank you very much. No, I don't need it, I want it, and he takes it. So what happens when he takes it? At that point, he's no longer prosecuting. At what's happening right then? He's protecting us. And what happens at that point? What do we say to him? Lech la'azazel. that is exactly what the Ramban is telling us over here. That's Seir. When Ibn Ezra says, when you're 33, you'll know. So what he's telling you is to count 33 psukim from this one. And then you'll see that there's a reference to Seirim, which is both hell and goats and Avodah Zarah. And that's really what the Ibn Ezra's point over here.
I don't like that.
You don't like go to hell that I said that? Yeah, it was due to him, but still, even after everything, we want to finish up this Ramban. It's good, isn't it? So he writes, "Lefichacha yonotnim lo l'same el shochad b'yom kippurim." Therefore, every year we give a bribe to some el yom kippurim. Shelo levatel et korbanam, that he did not cancel the real work we're doing in the Beit Hamikdash. Shener ma gorel achad l'Hashem, v'gorel l'achad l'azazel, gorel lo shel kodesh baruch hu. The korban ola, the offering done in that goes completely up to God. V'gor lola azazel seir chatat v'chol avinotem sheisur alav. All of our sins are there. Shenema v'nasah seir alav. Ra'as Samael shelo nimtza behem chet biyom kippurim. Now the prosecuting attorney Samael looks and doesn't see any sins on the Jews in Yom Kippur. Amar lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, ribon kol olamim, master of all the worlds. Yesh lecha am echad ba'aretz kemalchei asheret b'shemayim. You have a people. The Samael says this. The angel of Esav says this. God, you have a people over here who are like angels of heaven. Ma malachei asheret yachvei regel kach heim. Yisrael yachvei regel b'yom kippurim. Whole different reason why you don't wear shoes. Angels don't wear shoes. The Jews are not wearing shoes. So he looks at us in Yom Kippur and says, "Wow, look, they look like angels." Ma malchei sharet ein bem achila v'shtia. Look, angels don't eat and drink, right? Kach Yisrael ein bem achila v'shtia b'yom kippurim. The Jews don't eat. Ma malchei sharet ein lehem kfitza. Kach Yisrael omdim al regleim b'yom kippurim. This is a reference to the standing on their feet. Ma'amalchei asharet shalom mitavech b'neim. This is very important. When angels get along with one another, they don't fight. Kach in Yisrael shalom mikol chet b'yom kippurim. The Jews, sorry. Shalom mitavech b'neim b'yom kippurim. The Jews get along completely. By the way, this is a reference to we all make up with one another before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we want to be a unified people. Aside from all year, there's certain issues that, you know, we do bad, we damage, we this, we sue. Yom Kippur, we try to become one people. And who testifies that we're one people? Our prosecuting attorney testifies that we're one people. Just as the angels don't have sin, the Jews don't have sin. And he hears the testimony of the prosecuting attorney. So here he's quoting all this from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, but I'm saying all this goes back to this Midrash. But again, where did this Midrash take us to? This was Yom Kippur that this took place. But what happens after Yom Kippur? Again, I just want to follow through. What happens according to the Zohar after Yom Kippur? That's Sukkot. So over here we have a whole other aspect of Sukkot. If you made me go there to Bereshit, what happens, where does Sukkot arrive? Sukkot is the time, not that God is just protecting us, where God joins us in the Sukkah. That's what it's saying. Which means the Sukkah now has a whole different reference going to this. That now God celebrates with us our success for surviving Yom HaDin. What are the dynamics of this? Basically, dynamics of it. All sins that we have, Shelech la'azazel. All sins that we have, what do? We all give it as a bribe to Esav. What does Esav do? Esav takes it. And that according to the Ramban, based on Pirkei Elazar, and as we see, it goes together with the Zohar. That's the idea of what happens in Yom Kippur. And then we have our first reference to Sukkot found in Scripture. But once again, the way that we started, right, Sukkot follows Yom Kippur. So here again, we see that Sukkot again follows Yom Kippur. But again, the beautiful part of this not only is this like this chuppah that shows God's love and shows God's protection of us. You know, the Michilta d'Rashbi that I skipped in the beginning in source number 6, it says, Mashal lema davar domeh l'chatan shevi eperyon lepetach beitah shel kala kidei shekanes lo miyad. Let's say it's raining outside and they're getting married that day. So it's the chatan who brings a canopy all the way to the door of the kala so there she'll be protected by the elements as she enters into with the chatan. This Mechilta d'Rashbi really is all... We see the Zohar explaining the same thing, that the sukkah represents the marriage between Am Yisrael and the Jewish people. I'll just say one more sentence, and explain it and finish it up. The Jews left Egypt. What does it say in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, like where we started from, but a little bit before? It says, "Lech teich achvai b'midbar eretz lo zarua." What did Kol Amar Hashem zacharti lechesed nurayach? Right, I remember what avat klulotayach. The love of a chatan and kala. The fact that the Jews left Egypt with God, we ran off. God was the knight in shining armor, and we ran off. We eloped. We eloped with God. Did we know what? Do you know where we're going to live? Do we know how we're going to live? We went off. We ran off into the wilderness. God says, I remember that. What happens then? We get to Har Sinai, we're going to have our vows. What happens then? We see this, the best man, actually wasn't the best, what is he even invited? The Egel Hazav. We see this shiny Egel Hazav. Moshe's not around, so we go have a fling with the Egel Hazav. Now that's very bad. Right? You should not have a fling with the Egel Hazav underneath your chuppah, which is really what Har Sinai was. And as Luchos are coming down, the Luchos is like the ring. So Moshe goes and he breaks the ring. I can't give the... How could the Jews get married to God if they're having a fling with the Egel Hazav? So what happens then? Moshe prays and we have a reconciliation. By the way, according to the Vilna Gaon, the Anan Yaakov disappeared right then. We go back, pray, get forgiveness. When did the forgiveness take place? On Yom Kippur, we get forgiveness. By the way, there's one more thing in Source 24, which is part of the service in Yom Kippur. Vayomer Shem Moshe Daber Al Aron Achich Va'al Yevo B'chol Eid Al Kodesh Mibeit LaParochet Al Pnei Kaporet Asher Al Aron V'lo Yamud Ki Ba'anan Areil Kaporet. What is the holiest thing that happens in Yom Kippur? It's when the Kohen Gadol goes in with the Ketoret. How is the Ketoret described in the Chumash as an Anan, which means this represents the Anan Yakovod as well. That he goes in with Anan, and that's done on Yom Kippur. What happens now? Now suddenly the Anan Yakovod return. Yom Kippur is the reconciliation. What happens in Yom Kippur? God gives us the Luchot Shniot. What's the Luchot Shniot? That's the ring that we get married with. We get the ring, so then what happens? Now we have Sheva Brachos. So the Sheva Brachos are the 7 days of Sukkot, that we sit inside the Sukkah. Finally, we get to the eighth day. What's the eighth day? The eighth day is Simchat Torah, that's Yichud. That's the Chatan and Kala being by themselves, everyone else going away. Till now we brought Korbanot for all the guests, for all the 70, everybody else is there, they get what to eat. But now it's just Am Yisrael and Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah therefore becomes really, literally, the moment of unity between Am Yisrael and Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that's what ends up flowing through this whole idea of leaving Egypt, going to Sukkot, but Sukkot becomes a time that we're together with God, and that's what we saw already in the Zohar. So again, I went over time, I apologize. Everybody should have a Gemar Chatima Tova, have a Chag Sameach, Yom Kippur should be a Chag Sameach, and after that have a Chag Sameach on Sukkot.